Hello and welcome to Animal Voices. You're listening to CIUT 89.5 FM. I'm your host, Lauren Corman, here with Lamia with a fresh tan.
My goodness, I was in the bush. There was a lot of people outside my tent this morning.
And you're still awake somehow.
Yeah, well, no, I wasn't in a tent. I woke up in the... I got in last night, late last night, but I'm totally like, huh? Mm. Where'd all these people come from?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's amazing. I love the bush.
Today's program is going to be featuring stories from our listeners. We're going to do something a little bit different today.
I'm really excited. My roommate.
Yeah, it's a pretty neat story. I'm really looking forward to sharing Lamia's roommate story, which she sent to us. So today's program, we're going to be sharing the stories of people who have gone vegetarian or vegan. Most people that wrote us eventually did go vegan. And I was really curious to learn more about what it is that brings people to think about vegetarianism and to make the switch over to vegetarianism. And for a lot of people, the eventual switch over to veganism of our collection. And I was actually pretty amazed looking at so many of the different responses. And there were some definite themes that arose. And John Robbins, that amazing author, really has had a lot of impact on people. You see his name coming up over and over again in some of the films, too, that the filmmakers that we've interviewed on this show, a lot of people talked about different films that they watched, such as The Witness or Earthlings, and how much those films affected them. So it makes me think, you know, we're doing something right out there.
Spreading the word. Yeah. It's going to get heard.
We're going to also hear from people directly as opposed to me reading their stories. Some people just sent in the stories. And I just want to say a big thank you to everybody who did write in a story. And my sincere apologies because I don't think we're going to get through all of them. There was just too many to pick from. So without further ado, I think we're going to hopefully we'll get Dino on the line maybe now. And I'll read a story and then we'll get Dino on the line and we'll talk with him about going vegetarian and vegan. But the first story that I wanted to share, actually, I'll save Lamia's roommate so she can tune in and know that her story is coming up. We got a story from a person who goes by the alias Sardonicus, and he is a frequent poster to a message board and a website called Vegan Porn. We've talked about this website before on Animal Voices. It's not a porn site. It's sort of a news and satire site for vegetarians and vegans and for people who are curious about animal issues. And this is what he wrote to us. Going vegan was an extension of my totally ethically driven need to go vegetarian. But going vegan wasn't as easy. At least it wasn't for me at the time. I was a vegetarian for years before going vegan. While I knew the ethical issues of egg and milk production, it seemed distant and even abstract. Much in the way that environmentalists vaguely understand that meat production damages the environment, but they just can't wrap their brains around it enough to make the change. First, I gave up the obvious things like scrambled eggs and ice cream floats. Then I added items to my do-not-eat list. Dairy was hard for me to get off of, but learning about the medical consequences of consuming the milk from other species really helped me get the rest of the way. There are entirely natural hormones, even in organic cow's milk, that encourage the growth of cancerous cells in humans. There are known and uncatalogued bacteria and viruses, or viri, if you prefer, that survive pasteurization. Some of them are known and cause cancers. Some cause autoimmune effects in the human gut that may lead to other diseases. It's pathetic of me that it took self-interest to get me finally to eliminate all dairy. So that was from Sardonicus from the website Vegan Porn. Check it out, veganporn.com, if you're interested in vegetarian or vegan news or animal rights issues. And hopefully
we have Dino online.
I'm here.
Hi, Dino.
Hi, Lauren.
So we just shared our first story. I'm really excited to speak to you about your story. You had kind of a funny little blurb that you wrote to me about why you went vegan, and I was hoping you could share that with our listeners now.
I would love that. Originally, me and my family are from India, and we are Hindu Brahmin, which means that we don't eat meat or most animal products we try to abstain from. However, I'd always grown up with both dairy and egg. Now, while my dad was raised as a quote-unquote strict vegetarian, where his family didn't eat eggs, my mother was raised in a vegetarian family. So now, she raised us kids with eggs, and my father and I would have long arguments about why it's okay to consume dairy, but not so much to consume eggs. Eventually, once time went on, he started getting more and more disturbed by trying to justify dairy. So I think 1 year he got really sick off of some kind of dairy he consumed and became allergic to milk, and he stopped consuming it altogether. Then last year, around August, my mom went away to India for a year, and it was just me and Daddy at home. And since he didn't do any dairy or eggs, I wasn't about to ask him to go buy it, nor was I going to have him feel uncomfortable with the stuff in the house since it's just the two of us.
Mm-hmm.
So pretty much I stopped eating the animal products by default, but then I started listening to Bob and Jenna's podcast, The Vegan Freaks, and their argument about being an ethical vegan kind of sunk in hard at that point. And it's hysterical that it took that long, because I was raised around vegans pretty much all my life, mm-hmm. and they were all very strongly, you know, anti-animal exploitation and things like that. So I knew about veganism. I gave a presentation about veganism when I was in middle school. And for whatever reason, you know, the connection never formed. Hey, you know, you're doing the same thing.
Mm.
So once I started listening to Bob and Jim's podcast, and I started listening to Animal Voices, and I started listening to these other animal rights podcasts, it sunk in and it clicked hard. And I was like, okay, I can't do this anymore. It's murder. It's wrong. And honestly, it's not right to exploit animals for our use when they are thinking, feeling creatures. And I couldn't take it anymore, so I stopped.
So what have your parents thought about this new philosophy?
They don't quite know.
Yeah.
They're still in India right now, and they're not headed back till the 10th when, you know, I come back from New York. I'm visiting New York right now. And it's funny because they don't know, but I think they'll be amused to say the least, because there's a bit of a success story that goes with it. Really early on over there in the Vegan Freak forums, I started posting a lot of my recipes, and Bob said, well, since you're so adept at creating recipes, why don't you just create a cookbook?
Mm-hmm.
Now it's almost
That's so exciting.
Writing.
Yeah.
I'm almost done writing it, and it's going to come to fruition. And I mean, not only did I go from lacto-ovo-vegetarian, you know, who wore the silk, who wore the leather, who didn't get it, I've gone the complete opposite direction.
Well, we're excited to have you back on the program to talk about your cookbook. It's kind of a little bit different than some of the stuff out there.
Uh-huh.
Maybe put that just as a teaser for people. We can talk about it more in an upcoming program.
Sure.
But thanks, you know, for being on the show.
Thank you so much for having me, Lauren.
You're welcome.
I love you and Rob and Lami. I've been listening to you for a while, and I love listening to you guys.
Well, we love your enthusiasm. It's so great to have fans like you.
Dino, good morning.
Yeah. Well, Dino, we're gonna let you go, but thanks so much for touching base with us this morning, and congratulations on going vegetarian and vegan.
Thank you so much for having me, Lauren.
You're welcome.
It's been a pleasure.
Okay, I'll talk to you later. Okay. Bye.
Bye.
Okay, so that was Dino from Vegan Freak Forums. He's
right
so nice. He wrote us, I would say, probably the best. Well, it was one of the warmest, kind of tear-jerking, positive letters about Animal Voices that I've ever got. It was so nice. So thank you, Dino. Really, when people write in and say, you guys are doing a good job, or here's some of my thoughts in the program, it really helps keep us fueled. So
yeah,
thank you.
That's great.
I think we should read Jacinta's.
Yeah, go for it. I'm dying to hear what my fabulous roommate has to say.
This is Lamia's roommate, and I just know her as an acquaintance, and I didn't know if this was her, but Lamia has confirmed that it is. So it says here, hi, Lauren. I recently decided to go vegan. I live with a vegan and was vegan about 10 years ago for 6 months before I even knew any vegans. At that time, it was experimental for me. After those 6 months, I was vegetarian for 2 more years, when one day I had an unbearable craving for a steak and decided to indulge. Since then, I've been on again, off again vegetarian. I didn't want to eat meat, but I wasn't a supporter of animal rights. I didn't really know why people were so concerned. For me, there were bigger issues in the world. Recently, I watched a very graphic horror flick in which humans were brutally tortured and killed. I was disturbed for days. That level of senseless violence was all that I could think about, and why anyone would want to create those kinds of images. Last night, I watched Earthlings, and I saw thousands of animals every day suffer that kind of senseless violence. Of course, humans really are tortured and brutalized in our world, but this violence is not as widely condoned. But with animals, we don't seem to relate to the violence in the same way. But I realize that they do suffer as much as we do, and instead of wondering why some people care so much about animal rights, I now feel that there's no reason not to care. There was a quote by Tolstoy in the movie Earthlings that said, as long as there are slaughterhouses, there will be battlefields. And I'm in complete agreement with this statement. If we can't make the simple decision to consume a blood-free diet, how can we expect to end violence on Earth? My decision to go vegan again is my decision to contribute to a more peaceful planet.
There was a reason why I couldn't have read that one.
So we're all choked up in the studio. Jacinta, thank you for writing in. That was a very beautiful letter. Should we give you a moment to recoup, Lomi? Do you want me to read another one?
No, I go.
Okay, you go.
All right.
Thank you.
Ah, Jacinta. All right, my vegan story. Hello there. I am Sarah Lewis, and you can use my name. I am proud to say I'm vegan. So my husband and I toyed with the idea of organic and sustainable life, but it wasn't until we saw Woody Harrelson's documentary Go Further that it all clicked into place. We made a dramatic change for many reasons. The meat and dairy industry is a corrupt, profits-driven force that cares not for the health and welfare of animals or people. Conventional produce is either genetically engineered or sprayed down with chemicals, and the excessive waste of our planet's resources is a global crisis. The amount of grain and beans it takes to feed the beef cattle in this country could feed the entire world. Right now, we live in a little town called Clayton, N.C. N.C.? North Carolina, maybe? We have always felt out of place here, as we are liberal, goth, pagan, and this town is right-wing, conservative, Christian. But we are soon moving to Asheville, N.C., a truly wonderful city. We plan to purchase a house, power it with solar energy, sell our vehicles to purchase ones that can run on biodiesel, and start our own organic garden. We are eliminating chemical cleaning agents from our home, and we strive to live as naturally and sustainably as possible. All of this change was inspired by one movie, but sometimes you just have to wait until the right time in your life to hear the message.
Nice. Great. Thanks for sharing that. Mm-hmm. So this one is from Lisa. She writes, "Hello. I went vegan because I could not stand the animal cruelty another minute. I come from an Italian family who loved their meat and cheese. We had free-range animals and imported Italian cheese. My dad used to treat the animals well. He owned on the small hobby farm. He helped with their menus and was kind to them and would kill them, and of course, kill them and eat them, and of course I did too. Now I see it as betrayal. I went truck driving in 1992 and I saw large-scale farms and slaughterhouses. Came home and went back to eating meat, and after that, I was 27 and now 42. And, of course, coming to from Nova Scotia, the only veggie thing you could get in 1992 was pasta in tomato sauce, so, of course, it was easier to forget and to go on, especially with the friends I had at the time who loved their flesh as well. In November of 2000, I was at work cutting hair for Regis Corp, when all of a sudden I was doing my client's hair, and I just thought to myself, enough is enough. I even said to my client, you know, what I think I'm going to give up eating meat. No response from the client. I am sure that they were wondering if I cracked up or not, or if I could still cut their hair by the look on her face. But I really cannot say what came over me that night. It was just like I had somehow changed right there on the spot. I know that it sounds strange, but I often thought about what happened that night, but I don't know for sure. Maybe it was all those years that I went truck driving. But when I used to see dead deer hanging from our trees when my dad went hunting, it didn't bother me, or the rabbits being skinned, birds being plucked, etc. I just don't know. It was the strangest feeling I ever had. I know for sure that I will never go back to eating animals again. So whatever happened to me that night, it will never leave. It has changed my life, eventually my job, friendships, and how I see the world. Have a great day, Lisa."
Wow, nice.
Yeah.
Nice. This is a fun show, hey?
Yeah. Do you have another one there on the show?
Yeah, I do. "Hello. I was born into a Hindu vegetarian family, but as a child and in my early and late 20s, experimented with eating animal flesh and eggs. Because my parents were fairly liberal in their religious thinking, I never pondered the reason for the vegetarian doctrine. In our home, meat was never allowed or cooked, and therefore I was not familiar with the sight of dead decapitated birds or exposed raw body parts of animals. I just saw the ready-to-eat meat in restaurants and never gave it another thought. In my late 20s, I experienced an incident that forced me to realize that animals did not just exist in restaurants, zoos, and safari parks. One pleasant sunny weekend, I joined a group of office colleagues for a fishing trip, my first, thinking it was the most civilized, modern, and pleasurable thing to do. When the large fish was hooked, it screeched, struggled, and thrashed to escape. It was my first live experience of an animal being killed. My colleagues and I had blood spattered on our clothes from the struggling fish. I never forgot the image of the suffering fish and thought about it every time someone mentioned meat, which was every lunch and dinner hour. I began to wonder about the chickens and other animals and if they screamed in fear and pain when they were being decapitated and their limbs chopped.
I'm now a vegetarian, not because of religion, but by conscience. Thank you for listening. Wow.
And that was, yeah.
Yeah, I didn't know if I could say that.
Yeah, I think I asked people if they didn't want to share their name to ask to be anonymous. So yeah. She signed it with her first and last name, so yeah. I think it's okay. So thank you.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to read a friend of mine, Brandy, her story. My waking up moment came when I was in grade 11 in 1994. A friend and I were working on a presentation for social studies class on a controversial issue. She suggested that we look at PETA and vegetarianism because she had recently received an information package from them. She was a big fan of River Phoenix at the time, and he was a supporter of PETA. She wanted to learn more. I had never heard of PETA before, nor known any vegetarians, which seems crazy, but I lived in a town with a population of 5,000 in rural Ontario. Anyhow, as I prepared for the presentation, I read a story about a down cow, a story which PETA still continually reprints. The story is about a cow with a broken pelvis who was left to slowly die at a stockyard, and I was overwhelmed by near hysterical grief and outraged by the end of it. I had no idea that animals were treated in such a way. I continued reading the PETA literature, which covered a huge range of animal abuse issues, and my tears just kept pouring. For some reason, I didn't make the connection, didn't realize that I could do something to stop it. I truly think I must have been in some kind of denial or shock or something, completely dumbfounded and immobilized. It all seemed so huge, so overwhelming. What could I do in the face of so much suffering? When my friend and I were doing our presentation in class a couple days later, a lively discussion broke out. I was passionately talking about and trying to relay all that I had read. Then the moment came where it fell into place. A fellow classmate raised his hand and asked, "Well, if you care so much, then are you a vegetarian?" Aha, there it was, the missing link. I remember pausing for what seemed like minutes, trying to process what he had just asked, and then replying, "Yes, as of this moment, I'm a vegetarian." I will always remember that classmate, Doug was his name. He was asking the question to discredit me, but I really feel thankful about his hostility because he made everything make sense, made the pieces shift in a way that hadn't at that point. I suddenly didn't feel so powerless and knew that I could make a difference. Corny sounding, but true. Going vegan is another story entirely. Dot, dot, dot. Should we try to get someone else on the line?
Sure.
Who would you like? Well, how about we should go with Adam Weissman?
Okay.
He has an interesting story to tell. He's really tried on a bunch of different ethical approaches to food over the years. So we're going to try to get him on the line. This is just a short little story as we're doing that. This one is from someone who goes by the alias Cyber Vegan. And she writes, "Seeing the butchered head of a baby goat pinned to the wall of a Tunisian butcher shop is what turned me vegetarian. I went vegan less than a year later because I simply wasn't eating that much in the way of dairy products, and it seemed like the next logical step." So that was from Cyber Vegan. I should plug our website for people who want to hear the show again or any of our over 150 shows. You can go to our website, animalvoices.ca, and all of the programs are archived there. As well, if you have any questions or comments for us, you can write us at animalvoices@ciut.fm. We'd love to hear from you. Any feedback is welcome, positive and negative. And hopefully, we're in the process of getting Adam on the phone right now. Today's program, we're featuring stories of people who have gone vegetarian or vegan and exploring some of the reasons why people come to these issues and decide to make a switch over from their omnivorous diet to a plant-based diet. Okay, well, we'll go to another story just in the meantime. This one's from Marissa King, and we've had her on the program before talking about her lovely new vegan shop that is it's an online store right now, but they feature vegetarian and vegan products. And if you're listening, Marissa, for some reason the name of that store, Kamondi, I believe, the name of it was just evading me for a moment there. But this is Marissa's story. "I became interested in environmental issues in my second year of university while I was taking a course on humankind and wilderness. I was a theater major, and I had given little thought to the world at large. Once immersed in the course about our connections to the earth, I was browsing through a bookstore and picked up John Robbins' Diet for a New World, simply for a quick read. Little did I know that I was just to take hold of a grenade which was about to blow my world apart. What I had read about factory farming and the treatment of animals at the hands of humans left me reeling. There was simply no way that I could continue to participate in this hellish system of which I was so ignorant. That very day, I cleaned out my cupboards, went shopping armed with a list of foreign-sounding ingredients, and became vegan. It didn't take long before I veganized the rest of my life as well. How could I sit back and continue to contribute to the suffering and misery of so many when it was completely unnecessary to my health and well-being. And that was Marissa King, and she was sharing her story about going vegan with us. And I think we're kind of in the process now of getting Adam on the phone. Are we switching over? All right. Adam.
Hi.
Hi, how are you doing?
Okay.
It's always a pleasure to have you on the program. Thanks for sharing your story with us.
I'm always happy to be on the show.
So tell us what happened.
Yeah, I mean, that's something a choice I made at a pretty early age. I had a strong belief from a young age that killing was immoral, and that grew into a pretty profound commitment to nonviolence. Even as a kid, when dealing with bullies and that sort of thing, I had always refused to respond violently based on a principled commitment to really pacifism. I think I was also influenced by being a direct descendant of a Holocaust victim, and looking at that experience and seeing the commonality between the ordinary Germans who allowed a genocide to be committed in their midst and the ordinary meat eater who assents to animal oppression every time she sits down to eat, to me was a real clarion call that we can't simply accept the morality of just going along with whatever is commonplace and whatever is normalized. I shifted to a vegetarian diet at around 8 or 9 years old, which was a decision that was decidedly unwelcome by my parents, who concluded that I would develop anemia and all manner of other ill health conditions from a meat-free diet, and was told that by them that I could, when asking even years before that, telling them I wanted to go vegetarian, was told that this is something I could do when I was 18 and no longer living under their roof. Eventually, I just stopped eating meat on my own and pretty much forced my family to feed me vegetarian food if they wanted me to eat at all. And
you were hunger striking at a young age.
Pretty much, yeah.
Wow.
For all intents and purposes. And yeah, they, to some degree thereafter, in the interest of getting me to eat, accommodated that, but nonetheless kept turning the screws, telling me they wanted me to get weekly blood tests because they knew I was going to develop anemia from the lack of iron I was getting from not eating meat, and just put more and more pressure on me until I finally caved and went back to eating meat briefly when I was probably around 10 or 11 years old. Finally, at 11, I went away to summer camp and, out of my parents' clutches, was able to go vegetarian again, this time for good, which is also the first place I ever met other vegetarians, which is very empowering. Now, with vegetarianism already being a controversial decision for me in my parents' eyes, veganism was still pretty much out of the question to them. So when I expressed my commitment to go vegan, I was again told of all the terrible health risks I would be subjected to by doing this, and was informed that to compensate for the dairy deficiency that would be part of my diet without drinking milk, I would need to compensate by drinking soy baby formula, which I tried to do. I still remember the day when, under direct parental supervision, trying to drink the stuff to prove that I could handle being vegan. And I've read that babies don't have much of a sense of taste, and I'm pretty convinced of the truth of this, because trying to gulp down that awful tasting stuff, I would think that any formula fed baby would starve to death otherwise. It was pretty much the most unpleasant thing I'd ever tasted, but I was committed to basically downing this swill to prove that I could go vegan. In order to be able to do it, I had to keep diluting the stuff with massive quantities of Diet Cola. Getting through one glass of baby formula probably would have meant about drinking 10 or 20 glasses of soda. So finally...
this is so awful.
Yeah, I'm basically convinced that meat eaters should not be allowed to raise children. from experiences like this. And even then it tasted pretty awful. But finally I remembered having one time when my mother had bought a box of soy milk during one of her vaguely accommodating periods for my vegetarianism. So mentioned that and suggested that perhaps this could be an alternative to baby formula. So to my great relief, this suggestion was accepted, and at the age of 12, I went vegan.
Wow.
So, and that was sort of only the beginning for me, but I don't know to what degree you want me to go on.
Well, you did. I mean, we have a few more minutes before we have to go to some music and probably an ad. But if you want to share the rest of your journey, because veganism really was only a beginning for you.
Yeah, I mean, so over the years, I continued asking questions about diet and ethics, and led me to shift increasingly towards a diet of only eating organic foods, not wanting to support the massive killing of insects and other animals and damage to the environment from agricultural pesticides. As I learned more about organic food production, I came to realize that, as the headline of an issue in the Animals Agenda magazine put it, organic was better, but not benign. I spoke to a high school teacher at one point who told me about being on a farm and hearing the sounds of animals being shredded in a corn thresher as it harvested its crops, which is, of course, since it wasn't an issue around petrochemicals, it's just as much a reality of organic as well as conventional production. And as I read more about organic gardening and farming from organic magazines, I saw lots of articles about things like using biological warfare agents to kill agricultural pests, shooting, trapping, drowning of animals, basically anything, any way to kill an animal that didn't involve agricultural pesticides. So I decided that I would need to really be in direct contact with the farmers growing the food I ate in order to ensure that animals were not being killed in the process of growing it, or at least that every effort was being made to prevent animal suffering and death. I called the local organic farming association for recommendations and finally ended up talking to a farmer who'd been a board member of an animal rights group and seemed genuinely committed to animal-friendly farming. Yet, when I called him back a few weeks later, even he was using, quote-unquote, organic insecticides. I decided at that point that I would need to grow my own food and was prepared to set up a garden just around the time I started noticing the massive volumes of weight of food that are already being needlessly wasted. Dumpster diving good food that would otherwise consume space in a landfill without doing anything to increase demand for production struck me as an even more nonviolent option than my small-scale gardening plans, which would have inevitably disrupted habitat for all manner of small animals already living on that land. So while it took me years to start using the term, this is how I made the transition from a vegan to a freegan lifestyle.
So tell us just a little bit about freeganism. I realized, too, that we didn't exactly describe what veganism is. Veganism is generally defined as a diet, but people use the word lifestyle, too. I don't like that word, but I think it does get at it. It's not just about diet. People abstaining from animal products, often for ethical reasons around animals, but people do it for other reasons as well. But tell us what freeganism is.
Veganism is really a commitment. It's a lifestyle philosophy based around recognizing that in our profit-driven economic model, really everything is a commodity. And as a result, just about anything that we buy is ultimately going to be supporting animal exploitation, exploitation of workers, damage to the environment, because ultimately the bottom line is profit and social concern is not really why things are being produced in the first place. As a result, freegans try to find ways to live outside of the market economy to the greatest degree possible while reclaiming resources that would be otherwise wasted and sharing with others rather than existing in this sort of commodity-based, competition-driven way of living. So freegans dumpster dive food that would be wasted. We grow gardens rather than support petrochemical global industrial agriculture. We forage wild foods that grow naturally within our ecosystems. We squat buildings that are abandoned and wasted to really demonstrate that landlords shouldn't have a right to keep people on the streets while buildings stay abandoned and boarded up. We ride and repair bicycles rather than driving petrochemical death machines that support wars and global warming. And really just use a range of different strategies, both individual, like some of the things I've mentioned, and community-based projects, like things called really, really free markets, which are sort of free goods fairs and free service fairs where everything is given freely and taken freely and actually help to prevent waste by ensuring that resources end up in the hands of people who can use them rather than getting everyone back into feeling they need to buy the things that they need and really just promote a culture of sharing in the place of that.
Great. Well, thanks. I mean, it sounds like it's been a hell of a journey for you, Adam, and thinking about the ethics of not only what you eat, but what you and everyone else consumes as well. Thanks for sharing your story.
Well, thanks for having me.
We appreciate having you on. Well, we're going to take a short break, hear a little bit of music, probably do some station-related ads.
Yeah, and I just wanted to say I just got back from this fabulous time in the bush on the weekend.
I was staying at a place where there's like about 20 people who've bought this chunk of land out north of Bancroft, and it's like across the street from this commune, and like activists around Toronto and maybe around Canada know about this place, Dragonfly, and just chatting with people up there, I don't know, and having this show, I'm in this zone of bushland and relaxed state and haven't been in the city for a couple of days. And also in response to sometimes we get callers like, we'll do shows that aren't totally directly focused on animal rights or animal liberation. And I just want to say to listeners out there how important it is being vegan, having been vegan now for 6 years and struggling with things like how to keep it sustainable and how to stay long term and how to avoid burnout and how to take care of myself and watching activists who are my friends and friends in general around me get tired and worn down by the system and the state. So I want to remind people it's so important for us to take care of ourselves and our spirits and to have fun and laugh and shine so that we can stay in the struggle and keep fighting all the demons and the evils in the world.
Hello and welcome back to Animal Voices. You're listening to CIUT 89.5 FM. I'm your host, Lauren Corman, here with Lamia teching for us today. Today's program is on vegetarianism and veganism and why people make the switch. So we've been hearing a bunch of different stories about what brought people to these issues. And I'm going to read actually a couple of really short ones, and then we're going to hopefully connect with Beth. She was somebody who went vegetarian after 9/11, and she has an interesting story to share. But first, we're going to hear from Robin, and this is a letter coming from us from Bloomington, Illinois. And she writes here, I'm 52 years old. I went vegetarian in my 20s because of ethical reasons. I didn't think that it was right to eat animals, but at the time I had no knowledge of factory farming practices. My husband of 16 years has been vegetarian for a very long time as well. 10 years ago, we decided that we needed to lose weight, so we tried the McDougal diet, which avoids all added fat. It was a vegan diet, but that's not why we chose it. Around the same time, I saw an ad in the paper inviting people to join a local animal rights group and protesting the rodeo. My husband and I joined the group and became active in it for several years. This was the start of our educational journey surrounding animal agriculture and animal rights. We only stayed on the strict no-fat diet for 6 months, but once we learned about the horrible practices in every sector of factory farming industry, there was no turning back from veganism. These days, it is very easy to be vegan because there are so many products that now support the lifestyle, from rice cream, my new favorite, to really cute vegan shoes. And she also writes, I love listening to Animal Voices, by the way. You get very interesting guests, and you ask great questions. And she said, thanks us for being there. So thank you, Robin, for writing in. We love hearing such supportive messages, and it was great to share your story today. I wanted to also share a story with somebody who has very recently gone vegetarian, and I think this is a very beautiful story from somebody who I think maybe surprised himself a little bit that he ended up going vegetarian, although he'd been thinking about it for a while. He says, I just recently became a vegetarian about a month and a half ago. I had thought about it before, but was never really motivated enough to actually do it because I'm a picky eater. But this past Mother's Day, while driving out to meet family at a diner in a rural area, I missed a turn. When I turned around to get back on the track, there was a small pig crossing the road. I've never seen one before. It was tiny and oblivious to the danger that it was in. Traffic had stopped for it, and it walked down the center of the road. I wish I had picked it up because it was going to either get hit or get caught and eventually be eaten. It was an adorable animal, and after realizing that its sole purpose was to eventually be somebody's meal, I decided that I wasn't going to eat meat anymore. I'd like to eventually become vegan, but I'm still getting the hang of the vegetarian lifestyle. But I haven't eaten meat since, and that's from Alan, and the letter is coming to us from Pennsylvania, USA. Alan, thank you so much for sharing your story with us today. Tell us what the situation is.
So I left Beth a message.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I'll read Beth's letter just because it's interesting and I don't know if we're going to be able to get a hold of her. She writes, I stopped eating dairy in fall of 2001 when the World Trade Center blew up. I live only a mile and a half from Ground Zero, and I saw that I could cut my mucus production by quitting the dairy products. I had just heard a radio show with the Not Milkman, Robert Cohen, in which he stated that that milk was, quote, pus with hormones and glue, unquote. That really stuck with me, no pun intended. I quit all meat shortly after. Eggs were easy because I never liked eggs, but difficult because they're hidden in so many baked goods. The longer I've been vegetarian, the deeper my commitment to the animals grows. I haven't been able to get rid of all the leather. I'm poor and can't afford to replace everything at once, but I'm always replacing it with non-leather. A lot of people can't understand that. And we're glad that she shared her story today, and maybe we'll hear from her again at some point.
Maybe. I think that's also a really good point that she makes, too. And for people out there, if you're, you know, like, when you're broke and you're trying to live the best life that you're trying to live, I think it's important to do the best you can with what your means are. Okay, so I'm going to give Colin a call and see if we can get him on the show, and Lauren will probably read you another story.
I certainly will. This one is a little bit, well, this one is this one. I'll read one from another friend of mine, and she thought that I was actually directed the press release towards her because I wanted to do a show about people who go vegetarian or vegan and then go back to eating meat. And she thought I was looking at her, but I actually wasn't. It was the story that I included in the press release was about a friend of mine, Pete, who decided to go vegetarian. And then he wasn't too happy with how it was going. And I said, well, what's wrong, Pete? And, you know, what are you unhappy about? He said, well, I just really don't like tofu. And I guess he'd been, like, slicing up raw tofu and putting it on crackers. And so he didn't stick with the vegetarianism. So anyway, Nicola, it was not directed towards you, but this is her story about going vegan. She says, I think I was in junior high, and I was on the debating team and had to research both sides of a fishing rights argument for a prepared debate and came across the animal rights literature and philosophy that blew me away. I managed on tofu, crackers, and a lot of dairy for almost 2 years, and then went back to eating animals. But then I didn't go back to being veg again, this time armed with more support. I knew no one else who was veg the first time around, and a few more years under my belt to know more what I was doing and to cook for myself. I hate to admit that the second time around was inspired by less virtue. A cute boy I started dating was. In any case, the cute boy thing didn't last, but the vegetarianism did, and was solidified by meeting more people who were there, a body that felt much more better without animals in its system, and a reintroduction to politics that inspired it all in the very first place. Thanks, Lauren. As someone with activist beginnings, the framing of animal suffering and oppression, along with other sufferings and oppressions, I was learning to conceptualize made sense to me and inspired me to go vegan. Oh, yeah, and a cute girl. I'm very flattered to say that was me. Nicola and I have a very close friendship, and we've inspired each other on a lot of politics and really helped each other grow. So thanks, Nicola, for bringing your story to Animal Voices.
The fabulous Nicola Brown.
Mm-hmm. So do we have Colin?
No, his line was busy.
All right, well, we'll try him again.
Okay, do you want me to read his story or no?
No, we'll see. Maybe if we can get him on again, I can read Celeste's
okay.
story.
Yeah.
Do you have another one there?
I do.
Okay, well, you read one.
Okay, cool. This is posted by Amy. When I became vegetarian, I did it solely due to the fact that I opened my eyes to the horrific reality that I was eating the flesh of a dead animal. I had stopped eating pig and cow flesh, also known as pork and beef, when I was only 13 or so, due to a visceral disgust at eating a pig or a cow, and especially after seeing bloody steaks one too many times, and I'm not using the word bloody in the British sense, which I find amusing, being half British. It's funny. If eating a cat or dog seemed morally appalling, and the sight of blood on my father's plate seemed barbaric, how in the world could I condone the murder of any animals just to fill my stomach or put shoes on my feet? My mom went vegetarian when I did, but she did it mostly for health reasons. This was 8 years ago, when I was 19. Now we are both vegan. She, once again, changed her diet and lifestyle when I did, even though I no longer lived at home. And we are both strong supporters of animal rights. She says now that she wished she had not been so ignorant for so many years, because she would have raised my sister and me to be vegan. People are conditioned from childhood to think that eating meat and animal products is just normal because everyone does it. I know there are vegans, vegetarians, who are in it for health reasons alone, which is why they may slip back into eating meat or animal products. They think eating a slice of cheese here or a piece of chicken there won't destroy their health. But I believe that if you are vegan for ethical reasons, each and every piece of flesh or animal product you eat or wear is associated with death and suffering. So it just becomes abnormal to us to think of partaking in that. I would also like to add that after watching Meet Your Meat and crying through the whole thing, while at the same time getting really angry at how cruel humans are to animals, and reading all the information from Why Vegan on the Vegan Outreach website, I became vegan that very same day, which was in March of 2005.
Yeah. this is a short little story. It kind of reminded me of the witness in Eddie Lama's story. And this is from Caitlin Fleisig, and she writes, I'm 18 and I'm going to college next year to be a vet tech. I was eating some form of chicken and on the web researching some more what exactly I'll be doing when I graduate. I came across a picture of a vet tech holding a chicken that she had just helped save. It occurred to me that that girl saved what I was currently eating. Suddenly the connection was made, and that there is no difference between an animal that someone eats and an animal that someone owns. I could never eat my cat, so why was I eating cows and chickens and pigs? I went vegetarian in the moment. How could I spend my day trying to protect the lives of animals only to come home and eat one? And that is from Caitlin, and we appreciate writing in to Animal Voices. Just thought that was kind of a cool story. We're also going to hear another story. This one's a little bit longer, so I might do some editing, from a woman named Celeste Dixon, and this is from a letter from Georgia Mountains, USA. And she writes, I grew up in Louisiana, where we ate anything and everything. It's hunting and fishing culture there. Growing up, we raised chickens for food and eggs, and also a pig, so I knew where food came from and what it meant for an animal to give its life. I stopped eating mammals years ago after viewing footage of slaughterhouses on PETA's website and after seeing the movie Baraka, which shows baby chicks crammed onto a moving conveyor belt and shoots. Factory farming is obviously torture and cruelty. I think factory farming is way different than people raising food in order to survive. However, most of us in this culture no longer need to raise animals for subsistence. After I read Robin's book, Diet for a New America, I understand the impact of our food choices have on the environment. My husband and I ate dairy and eggs in our home, though, and we ate seafood when traveling. I first started thinking about veganism when I started using Vegan Cooks books by Brianna Clark Grogan. But it still seemed like too big of a challenge for me. It wasn't until a year bout of daily migraines that I decided to examine what I was eating after reading Heal Your Headache by neurologist David Buchholz of the Johns Hopkins University School of Medicine. During the 2 years of daily migraine, my diet had been filled with processed meat analogs by Morningstar and other processed vegetarian products. Dr. Buchholz's book details a myriad of physical symptoms brought on by foods and processed meat analogs, often containing MSG under other names you wouldn't expect, example, natural flavoring. The physical process of making some food then even creates MSG naturally as part of the production of the food, and the manufacturer does not have to list it as an ingredient. Commercial veggie burgers are a main culprit for MSG. Before reading his book, I worried about the fact that I hadn't had so many headaches as a meat eater, and I wondered if I needed to switch to eating meat again, and this was abhorrent to me. Finding out about the problems with processed vegetarian foods was key. I decided to go onto a whole foods natural diet, and while looking for vegetarian cookbooks with recipes to help me avoid possible triggers, I happened upon Sarah Kramer's book, La Dolce Vegan. I wound up buying 3 of her cookbooks because every recipe is delicious, easy to make, and uses whole foods without an over-reliance on tofu, which does seem to cause migraines in me, regrettably because she loves tofu. Since switching to Sarah Kramer's cookbooks, my migraine condition has improved by at least 80%. I no longer take medicine daily or pay money to neurologists, only to have them implicate that something in my character causes me to have pain. They treated me like a guinea pig, trying one medicine after another, each with worse side effects than the last. My mood has returned to its formal cheerful state, and I feel that my life has been returned to me after 2 years of daily pain. I did try fish one more time, and it made me feel ill. I won't be eating it again. Rice milk now tastes as rich as dairy ever did, and I don't miss cheese or eggs at all. As an added bonus, since going vegan, I've been able to easily maintain my weight. 3 years ago, I lost 50 pounds, keeping it off with this project. As a vegan, I eat, and I'm truly satisfied, and I don't gain weight. I have brought homemade dessert salad dressings and oils back into my cooking as well as regular desserts. It's fantastic. From listening to Animal Voices, I found out about nutrient density, and it's true. Thanks, Animal Voices, for archiving your programs. And she goes on to say other kind words to us, but we'll cut that short for now. Thank you, Celeste Dixon, for writing us in. As I said before, the letter was coming from Georgia Mountains in USA. Do we have any luck with Colin?
Still busy.
All right.
He's chatting away, or someone is on his line.
Hey, so I want to ask you.
Yeah?
Why did you go vegan?
All right. Initially, well, I went vegetarian, at the halfway point in my life. I'm 28 now, so I went vegetarian when I was 14. And that was, like, one of the stories I read out, like, a visceral response. It just got to the point, like, where I was like, I'm chewing my thigh. This doesn't make any sense.
And then I slowly, I mean, it was the same, mostly the same, same kind of feeling, like, where I was like, huh, this doesn't make any sense. I remember the last time I ate eggs, I was making an egg salad sandwich, and, like, through the whole process of it, I was like, this just doesn't make sense. And I would put the egg in the boiling water, and I was like, this doesn't make sense. And then I, you know, mashed it up with mayonnaise, and I was like, this doesn't make sense. And then I put it on the bread, didn't make sense, and put one bite in my mouth, and I was like, this doesn't make sense, so I threw it out.
What was it that didn't make sense about it?
I was just like, this is somebody else's egg. This is not, this isn't right. And then that was when I was in Vancouver. And then, funnily enough, I worked at a health food store and was surrounded by vegetarians, vegans, and was just a much more supportive environment for learning about things. And, like, I was a cashier, so on my break I could just pick up a copy of John Robbins' book or something, go have a read. And that's where I started learning about the dairy industry. And something that hit home with me in the dairy industry, I was like, if they strung up a female humans and impregnated them and forced them to keep having kids and milked them constantly, we would be in an uproar, and an absolute uproar. And I, and the connection that I had already made between, like, just, oh, looking in a cow's eyes, those sweet, soulful, gentle, I think, beings. Maybe that's me putting my own human understanding of emotions onto things, but I don't think so. I think that's truth. So making that connection and the care that I had for animals and life in general, I was like, oh, I definitely, with the dairy aspect of being vegan, I was educated, and then I was like, oh, I just didn't know, and now I know. And so now that I know, I can't turn back.
Hmm.
Although I do, I mean, I gotta be real, right? Sometimes I'll be like, I'm really hungry. I am not eaten in hours. I need to go have a donut or something. And I'll go and, like, have a Tim Hortons old-fashioned plain or something, which at some point in my life I heard was vegan, so I just go on that premise.
I think we should do a whole show just called Vegan Rumor Mill.
Yeah, totally.
There's another story here that I wanted to share. Thanks, yeah. Thanks for sharing yours. I also wanted to mention mine, but I'll do that at the end.
Please do.
Here's a story from... Well, I'm not sure which one. There's just, like, we're kind of inundated here with different stories. And, I want to apologize if we weren't able to read everybody's. This is a story from just an anonymous person who wrote in. And they write, in my 20s, I moved into a group house that was vegetarian and required sharing food. So I became ovo-lacto-vegetarian. Then we got a new roommate who was lactose intolerant and didn't like beans. So pretty soon, hunks of meat were showing up in the refrigerator. I would have been inclined to ask her to move, but she was sleeping with a roommate who had signed the lease. Pretty soon, we had all fallen off the veggie wagon. In my early 30s, I lived with three vegetarians for a year or so who didn't share food, but they asked that I not bring meat into the house, so I respected that. I still ate meat when I was when I went to a restaurant or a friend's house, though. Then I had many omnivorous years, dot, dot, dot. In my mid-40s, I went to lose a little weight, so my brother suggested John McDougall's program, which happens to be vegan. I got the book, The McDougall Program for Maximum Weight Loss, followed the program, and did lose weight. Then I started to think, this is so easy. I'm eating delicious food and plenty of it. I don't feel deprived at all. If I can be healthy and eat well as a strict vegetarian, how could I possibly excuse eating or exploiting animals? Then, because it was the next logical step, I stopped buying leather, silk, and wool. I haven't thrown out or given away all the leather, silk, or wool I had already owned, so I prefer to say that I'm transitioning to veganism. That was 5 years ago. Once I backed away from the societal norm, I could look at it clearly and see how crazy it was. There's so much casual cruelty. I don't crave meat, eggs, or dairy, but if I could conjure them up magically without involving animals, I'd still eat them sometime. I like the taste. Also, I sometimes get frustrated that my baking options are limited. He or she writes, no more souffles or angel food cake, although I'm sure now, with all the different vegetarian cookbooks out there, there probably is.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure you can whip something up. I just wanted to say one quick thing about my veganism, too. Something that keeps me vegan is... A few years ago, I used to be part of a group called Friends of MOVE Toronto, and MOVE is an organization based out of Philadelphia and a family who have been fighting injustice in their own lives and locally in their life and blah, blah, blah. I can't go in and on and on about it because we only have a couple minutes left, but I'm full of respect to those people and the teachings of John Africa. And, so much of my staying vegan is... A partial percentage of my staying vegan is thanks to the MOVE family. Okay, they're done.
Cool.
Yeah.
We only have a few more minutes left. I hope maybe Sarah will let us read the call-in piece. I don't know if we have to get off the air right away. How are we doing?
What do you think, Sarah? A couple minutes?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah? All right. Okay, so maybe if you want to read Collins, that would be awesome, because I specifically targeted him to write in, so I really want to share his story.
Sure. Hi, Lauren. What initially led me to vegetarianism was a sudden epiphany in 1994. It was the right thing to do. I believe the actions of people and groups, i.e. Greenpeace, etc., in protesting against French nuclear testing in the Pacific, images of the Canadian seal hunt, and the spray painting of the young seals, and the actions of a sea shepherd saving whales in the late 80s all led to this epiphany. Soon after becoming vegetarian, I started reading books like Animal Liberation and John Robbins' Diet for a New America. It was in April 1996 that I met my first vegan. I had never really heard of a vegan until then and asked them many questions. They pointed me towards other books, including The Jungle by Upton Sinclair. This book, which I read very quickly, had a profound impact on how it linked the exploitation of human and non-human animals under relations of capital. I recall that after becoming aware of these issues, I knew it was essential to become vegan, given my reasons for being vegetarian, that animals are not ours to do with as we please. Within a couple weeks of meeting this person, I made the decision to turn vegan. The next morning, I cleared out all the non-vegan items from the kitchen. I have just enjoyed my 10-year veganversary. Seeing firsthand the suffering and exploitation still affects me, and I vividly remember participating in my first animal rescue, a battery hen farm in Australia in 1999. Knowing that I continue to do what I can to alleviate suffering alongside working for social change really helps me to be able to cope with my awareness the conditions we, as a species, impose on animals. I look forward to my next 10, 20, 50 years of veganism and continuing to do what I can to alleviate suffering. I hope this fits with what you're after. I look forward to the show. And that's from Colin.
I wanted to say again, we got so many stories and we weren't able to get through all of them today, but I wanted to ask the people that did contribute if it would be all right if we could at least post your stories on the website, and then you can read the ones that we didn't get through today. I'll just quickly tell you my story. It's funny because I was thinking about all the different reasons why people went vegetarian, and no one mentioned punk rock. But I have a long-winded story and a short way of telling it. Although I was interested in many other social justice causes at the time. When I very first started getting into vegetarianism, it was because of a propaganda show. And if you're a regular listener to Animal Voices, you did hear the interview with Chris Hanna from Propaganda, and probably me tell the story before. But the propaganda does sing about, many different issues, social, political issues, and they also address animal rights. And they were singing a song about animals, and they had also invited a Winnipeg group, People Acting for Animal Liberation, PAL, from Winnipeg, and PAL was playing this vivisection video, this animal experimentation video of a primate being vivisected, and the animal was crying out. And I sort of, like a lot of people who wrote in, just made the connection at that point. It was sort of the spark that lit the whole thing on fire. And that's what got me to go vegetarian. I think the last thing I had was a beef burrito at Taco Bell. And I'm very grateful to Propaganda and a lot of the other punk rock musicians in Winnipeg for inspiring me to go vegan and to stay vegan and providing a supportive community. So that's one of the reasons. And the other one was linking it up with other issues of oppression, but we'll get into that in another show.
We're going to have to do a two-part show.
Yeah, sometime. I think so. So thanks for listening to Animal Voices, and thank you, Sarah, for accommodating us as we go over time. You are listening to CIUT 89.5 FM. Please stay tuned for Roadrunner.